Hello, hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Generation Slay. I'm your host, Emma Havikhorst. I am a Fordham University graduate. I am a very stereotypical Taurus. I am a chai latte addict, and I went on the subway for the first time since March today. Big things have been happening. You know, the usual. However, we're still in a pandemic. Still a major civil rights movement going on here. Everyone, keep wearing your masks. Keep fighting the good fight. You know what to do. Make sure you're registered to vote. This has been very simple activism. You're very welcome. I am so excited for this week's episode. I, for some reason, just feel like it's been a minute. I wasn't in a super talkative mood last week, so I am here for this today. I hope you are too. Welcome, whether it's Tuesday morning when this comes out, or 3 months from now. Maybe the world's a different place when you're listening to this. I hope it's better. If it is, I really do. 3 months from now is past election day. How's it going? I hope things worked out the only possible decent way. Okay. All side notes aside, let's get into this for this week. I am super excited about our guest this week. Guest is Anna Zhang. Anna is a rising sophomore at Yale. I know, very impressive. Studying computing and the arts. She likes to focus on the intersection between art, tech, and social impact. Obviously, so relevant right now. I love this conversation for that reason. She is a photographer and has been published in magazines like Glamour and Porter, and she creates digital content for brands like Keds and Fujifilm, which, like, we all love a good nostalgia moment. We all love a good 90s moment. Keds and Fujifilm, like, can you get any better? Anna has also founded Pulse Spikes, which is an amazing, amazing magazine made by youth for youth, focusing on entertainment, entrepreneurship, and activism. She also recently made a mobile game in collaboration with Google Play called Bright Love, which encourages its players to be kind and stand up to injustice. She is so cool the way she incorporates social impact and activism in all of her work, whether that's more art-focused or tech-focused. It's absolutely incredible, it's super inspiring, and I really think we can all learn so much from Anna during this incredibly tumultuous time in our country right now. And if you're not in the U.S., shout out to you. Hopefully your life's a little better wherever you are. I hope. But yeah, this is such a fun interview. I do know Anna more personally. I've worked with her on some projects, so just getting to chat with her, quote-unquote, officially interview her on the podcast was super fun, super exciting, and, you know, I really think you guys are gonna love it. So I'm gonna stop myself from babbling now. Please enjoy this wonderful interview with Anna Zhang. Hey, Anna, I am so, so excited to have you on Generation Slay today. Welcome.
Hi, Emma. Thanks for having me.
So I'm so excited to have you here. Just to kick things off, can you give the audience and me, but I know you, a little idea of your background, who you are, where you come from, what you do, anything about your life that you feel is important to share?
Yeah, so I'm from New York, about an hour north of New York City, and I started photography when I was in sixth grade, and that kind of spiraled into doing pretty much experimenting with any kind of photography, whether it was like travel photography, nature photography, concert photography, portraits now, commercial work. So I've dabbled in a few arenas in that realm, and then I also started a magazine called Pulse Spikes. It's an online and print magazine made by youth for youth, focusing on entertainment, entrepreneurship, and activism. And I also started learning how to code because I wanted to create my magazine's website and kind of customize it to my liking. So that's kind of where the technology side comes in. So I've also been coding since ninth grade, my freshman year of high school. And I've been lucky enough to work on some really cool tech projects, and am really interested about interested in the intersection of art and technology and how I can use those passions to make an impact.
I mean, everyone can already tell, obviously, that you are amazing and so talented and so multifaceted, but I want to start at the very beginning. So you mentioned your photography, but I want to know, sixth grade, you got into photography, but what was that kick? What made you interested? How did you learn about photography? What kind of was that jumping off point that really made you dive in?
To be honest, it wasn't actually, I feel like the story isn't actually as interesting as people might think. I was personally just really, really bored. I was really bored. I was in China with my family. All my family lives in China. And so I didn't really have many friends over in China besides family. And so I was kind of bored and decided to pick up a phone and kind of just shoot my surroundings, whatever was nearby. So imagine me going through the supermarket and like taking pictures of apples and like pictures of flowers, things like that. That was kind of the starting point. And then I started to post my photos onto Instagram when I came back from my travels. And on Instagram, it's kind of like, because I'm completely self-taught as a photographer, I still have yet to take a photography class. Instagram kind of became this immediate feedback a place where I could kind of see what other people were interested in, what they liked and disliked about my photos, what they were drawn to. And so I got a lot of my feedback and learning through Instagram. So that was kind of the jumping off point, where I was just taking photos of anything in my surroundings. So my neighborhood, I would spend hours just taking pictures of flowers, whatever was in my backyard. And that was the main jumping point.
I love that because, you know, people always say like boredom breeds innovation, boredom breeds creation, because you needed to come up with something to do. So the fact that what you came up with has evolved over the years into something so big and so like core to what you've done throughout your life, and we'll get more into it, is so incredible and so much more interesting to me, honestly, than people who just took photography in sixth grade and kept taking photography class, you know? So I want to hear now how you went from, you know, being in China, just taking pictures, getting used to it, and getting feedback from Instagram followers as you got more and more into photography, to getting your photography published then in major magazines like Glamour and Porter. How do you make that leap? How do you get recognized? How do you get your photos in those magazines? What does that process look like? What's the behind the scenes there?
Yeah, it definitely wasn't an overnight process. So I started photography in sixth grade and started posting my photos onto Instagram then. And I was still doing nature and travel photography at that time. But later in, I think in eighth grade, I started doing concert photography, and I was really interested in concert photography, and I loved it because it was just so dynamic, and I got to be able to interact or see and witness someone doing what they loved on stage. And that energy I really loved, and I thought it was so cool because the entire environment is so dynamic, whether it's like the lights moving, the colors, everything's just changing, and the energy in that environment is just so infectious. And that's why I kind of loved concert photography. So going from concert photography, I was interested in more of the behind the scenes, like what happens, who are these artists off stage, how can I try to capture who they are when they're not performing, as well as kind of how their music lives or how their lives on stage intersect with everything they do outside. How do they bring that energy onto stage and then off of stage into different areas of their lives. And so that's kind of when I decided to go into portrait photography and just try it out to be able to interact with people more personally. And so I started just kind of connecting with different people online, reaching out to different people. And then I did a lot of shoots with like YouTubers. And it was actually through, I actually found that there wasn't really a magazine at the time that was, that would really give young people a chance, young artists a chance to share their work and to publish their work. So at that time in eighth grade, I decided to start my own magazine called Pulse Spikes because I wanted to share what got people's hearts racing, what they were passionate about. And so that was kind of the beginnings of the magazine and where I found an outlet. And I hope other people also found, other young artists found an outlet there to be able to share their work and get published and kind of create the opportunities that they couldn't find elsewhere. And so it was really through there that I started to connect more with different artists, photographers, stylists, and work with different actors and YouTubers and things like that. And so that later on, I guess, translated into taking more photos of different people who, and then later on when they were doing features with other publications, these publications reached out about using my work alongside the features and things like that, which has been really exciting.
Yeah, I mean, that's so exciting. And you touched on what I really want to get into, which is Pulse Spikes, your magazine. I mean, you founded it when you were in eighth grade, you just said, which is insanely young. I feel like you're, what, 14 in eighth grade? I mean, I can't even imagine. So you've already said your inspiration behind it was, you know, creating that place that was willing to promote and to publish the work of these incredible young people. And I love that so much. I can't even tell you how much. What were the early days of starting this up like? What did you have to learn? What did you have to get set up? I know you already mentioned you had to learn how to code, which is crazy. So tell me more about what that all actually looked like at the beginning.
To be honest, at the beginning, it was, I had this idea, and in my eighth grade going into ninth grade mind, I felt like I could do anything and I was very naive, but I feel like that naiveness kind of allowed me or didn't limit me at all because I felt like I could accomplish whatever I wanted to and whatever I set my mind to. And so the early days of the magazine, well, because I was posting a lot on Instagram, and as I'm sure you're aware, Instagram is, there's such a community of young artists and such a strong community of young artists on Instagram. And so I tapped into that community initially when I was starting off the magazine and put out a call for contributors to see if anyone else was interested in this platform and wanted to share their work. And I got a lot of feedback and responses from that. So that was kind of the initial team of the magazine were really people that I didn't really had never met before, but people who were really passionate about photography, about the arts, about making an impact with their work. And I really wanted to share this platform with them and see how I could support them and how we could come together to create something. And so when I was starting out, because I had done some concert photography, I knew a couple of people maybe in the entertainment industry just from getting photo passes before for concert photography, whether it was like publicists or managers and things like that. But those were very limited connections and I didn't know that many people. My parents aren't in this industry. They do more of the tech side. So they had no idea going into like entertainment, the media, or the arts side, what that would entail. And so I just reached out to a lot of people. I would send out hundreds of emails and get maybe like 5 responses. Most of the time it was just no reply. And then if there was a reply, most of the time it was like, oh, sorry, so-and-so isn't available at this time. I appreciate you reaching out and things like that. But there were like 1 or 2 yeses out of hundreds of emails that I would send out. And I would just take those chances and try to build whatever I could out of those yeses and make something greater out of whatever opportunities I could get. And so one other thing, of course, was doing more of the website design and things like that. And I think I'm really lucky because my parents had never forced me to do anything that I didn't want to do. So they are both more on the technology side. But when it came to making a website and learning how to code and things like that. They were kind of just like, go and explore, see what you can do. So I would go on YouTube, search out videos, and it wasn't that I was coding my website from scratch. It was just that in the beginning, it was just that there was this theme that I had, but there were just parts of it that didn't really reflect what I wanted the website to look like. And so part of learning to code at that time was learning like CSS, HTML, and just figuring out the elements that I could change and make whatever code, existing code was there, but kind of make it my own and turn it into my own and kind of bring to life a vision that I had through these small changes that I would make. So it was both a mix of just reaching out to people and seeing who would take a chance on a very, very young, not really strong portfolio person, but it was just about taking chances and I think being open to learning, which has definitely helped, and not being afraid of getting rejected and just keep trying, I guess.
I mean, that's the best message. And I remember way back in my day, around probably the same time I was in eighth or ninth grade, when I would be requesting invites to Fashion Week shows, and I would send out hundreds and hundreds of emails just hoping I got 3 or 4 or 5 responses, and that made my year, essentially. Like, it just having that youthful willingness to just try everything and just hope for the best, and kind of, as you mentioned, like that level of naivete of like, I can do this, why couldn't I do this? It's mm-hmm. just that combination of things I absolutely adore, because the people I talk to, especially, you know, you and your story with Pulse Spikes, it's that combination really does create such incredible, incredible things. So I just love it. I love it.
Yeah, for sure. And it's kind of crazy because whenever people see like the results or see, oh, you got to shoot with XYZ or so-and-so, they don't really see the, like, I feel like everyone in the stories that we see online or on social media or in the news are all these success stories, and that's kind of that's like all that's being focused on. But behind every single one of these is like so many hours of like just getting no's like all the time, and days of like getting no responses at the beginning, things like that. That's often like kind of missed, I think, when we look at things on social media or online nowadays.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, you talked about obviously the beginnings of founding Pulse Spikes and what it was like then, but I'd love to hear from you. I mean, it's been years since you started it. What does that behind the scenes look like now? What does your day-to-day or week-to-week work look like on Pulse Spikes? How has it evolved and changed? Just, I would love to hear that from you, because I think, you know, keeping a project going for so long, especially when you started it so young, and the mission still holding up and still being a passion, is so fascinating to me. I love it.
Yeah, so nowadays, it isn't too different from my starting point, but nowadays we get a lot of pitches, and I'll go through them and see if there are any stories that are interesting, and also talk with different writers and see what they have in mind, who they're interested in talking with. Same goes with for photographers, who are their dream people to shoot. Can I make that happen for them and connect them to other people in the industry? But I think something that I'm trying to work on more now as this has evolved is now that I have this platform, and I've created this platform with so many other young artists, I want to make sure that we're still keeping that mission and of empowering young artists and sharing the stories of young activists, entrepreneurs, and rising people who aren't necessarily as established in the industry, and kind of hear more of like the behind the scenes of what's going on while they're trying to pursue a certain passion, and what are they facing, what are those obstacles like. And I feel like I haven't done as good of a job trying to get those stories in recent years, just because it feels almost like it's like an excuse to say that it's easy when people are now pitching you. But a lot of these stories that are so interesting and that I find so inspiring are people who don't have publicists, who don't have managers to reach out on their behalves and get these stories. So right now I'm trying to do more of that digging and reaching out to different people and trying to make sure that we really get an array of different voices and not the ones that we typically see on the news and in the media. So that's something that I'm personally working on, and as well as trying to make the website more accessible, which I've recently found has been not as accessible as I would like it to be. And I want to make sure, if I'm going to be creating a platform for young people, that I want to make it as accessible as possible, and also make sure that I'm creating for the people that I started this for, and making sure that they're able to read it and they're able to interact with the community just like any other user would or reader would. So I'm trying to work on that. So those are two personally things that I'm trying to work on right now with the magazine going on.
I mean, I absolutely adore both of those, and I feel like I just need to make a note. If anyone working at major publications are listening, take note, Anna's doing it the right way. Inclusivity, accessibility, showing the voices that aren't as amplified, that aren't as publicized, this is like the thing to do. And I am so impressed that you, I'm not impressed because I'm not surprised, but I love that you have that initiative and you have that knowledge and you're pushing to get this stuff done. And no one's asking you to do it, but you just know that it's so important to make those changes and to keep the magazine as inclusive and to amplify those less heard voices and to make sure the website is accessible to everyone. It's so good. You're just doing such good stuff. Like, on top of the talent and the structure and the actual thing you're producing, you're making sure that it's doing actual good in the world, and it's just so good. It warms my heart.
I'm trying my best. I think over the years, it's been a little bit challenging balancing it with schoolwork and things like that. And those aren't excuses. I think now that I've recognized some of these issues, looking back at the different issues of the magazine and just taking the time to see what I can work on to make it better and to make it more accessible and to kind of center back in on that mission, I'm really trying to work on that this summer to make sure that I am again creating this platform for the people who I intended it to be for, and to make sure that they're able to read it and to participate and to contribute. So I'm trying my best right now, even though I think there have been challenges in the past, just to make sure that now that I've recognized some of these problems, that I'm going to be taking action and that I'm going to be holding myself accountable to doing these things.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just before I let you go, you mentioned this, you know, some things fall by the wayside because you do have school and that's something you need to focus on. So I guess my biggest question is, how do you do all of the things you do? Like, I cannot comprehend doing all this photography work, running this magazine, being a student at Yale, knowing how to code. We didn't even get to dive into the mobile game Bright Love that you launched. I'm going to link it below so people can look at it, and I'm going to have you back so we can talk more about that and kind of the coding side of your life. But how do you manage it all? How do you make sure you stay sane despite doing so many incredible, impressive things and also school?
Thank you. And I think it's about, I think it's definitely a challenge and something that I'm still working on. But I think it's about the fact that I know that people always say that you can't do it all. And it's partially true. But I think something that I've learned is that you can do it all, but you just can't do it all at once. And so I'm trying to figure out what my priorities are right now. And those priorities can shift depending on the circumstances and also what I'm interested in, how I can help support others, the different platforms and passions that kind of interest me at the time. And so I know that there are a lot of things going on, and I want to make sure that whatever I do, that it can be evolving, that it can be shifting. And so those priorities can also shift, but I make sure to kind of set some priorities for myself. And those can change depending on like the week or the month, but just knowing that I can do it all, just not all at once. So maybe it's right now I'm focusing more on trying to create an accessible website. And that might mean that I have less time to work on personal photography projects. But later on, if I have an idea photography related that I think is really powerful and that can have an impact, then maybe I'll pursue that. And so it's about evolving and kind of being open to change. And I think, just trying to stay as open as possible and seeing where life takes me, I guess.
I absolutely adore that. And I think there are some key little bits of advice in there of making sure, you know, people stay balanced while they're pursuing their projects and they don't overwhelm themselves and convince themselves that they can do it all and then sacrifice sleep or quality or, exactly, you know, homework. Yeah. So I absolutely love that. Unfortunately, we do have to wrap up, but before I let you go, can you tell everyone where they can find you, where they can find Pulse Spikes, where they can find anything else that you want them to look at? Because I will link it all below, but just in case, I want them to hear it from you.
Yeah, so my photography Instagram is at colorflame. I started it when I was in sixth grade, so the username has just stuck since then. And then my magazine, it's at Pulse Spikes. And then for if anyone wants to download the mobile game Bright Love, it's on the Google Play Store right now. It's for Android devices currently. And that I also have an Instagram for that. It's at Bright Love App if you want to check that out. But thank you again, Emma, so much for having me. It was so much fun to talk.
This has been absolutely incredible. You know, I hope you know, you are such an absolute inspiration to me, and I love everything you're doing and everything you put out into the world. And I know everyone listening will as well. But thank you so much for being on, for taking the time. This has been the most wonderful conversation, and I will have you on another time to talk all things Bright Love and all of that.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Generation Slay. I really appreciate you taking some time out of your, I'm sure, very busy schedule to tune in, and I hope you'll take a quick sec to subscribe so that we'll see you on the episode next week. And, you know, if you liked it, pop down to the review and leave a little comment, leave a hopefully 5-star review. It's super, super helpful on my end, just because, you know, the more reviews I have, the more it gets pushed out on podcast platforms to other wonderful Gen Slayers who would definitely, definitely learn and gain so much from hearing these interviews. So by leaving a review, by subscribing, you know, you're helping a girl out and you're helping a whole other wonderful community of Gen Zers out as well. So I'm sure they'd appreciate it if you did it too. Until next week, I would love to see you over on our social channels at Generation Slay Everywhere. You'll see some fun motivational content. You'll see some activism now because of the world we live in. And hopefully you'll see some wonderful Instagram story takeovers, Q&As, days in a life from our amazing guests. So if you want to see any of that, pop on over to our socials, and I'll see you next week. Bye!